Lella, Lella, Lo, fellow humans. Welcome to episode 5 of Let's Talk Politics. Woohoo! Let's do this. Let's do some cringy stuff. I'm just trying to be funky and fresh, guys, you know? You gotta cut through the noise and be individual. What am I talking about? There's probably like 8 people listening to this, probably less than that. Anyway, welcome to the podcast. I have a couple of stuff to say. 2 important things and 1 less important thing that I'm going to say anyway. First thing is an apology. I am very, very sorry, guys. I named episode 4, the last episode to be released, I named that episode 3. Apparently, a lifetime obsessed with political events, current affairs, history and social justice doesn't make you very good at maths. So I'm very sorry about that. Second thing, which is not very important, this is not very important thing, I smashed my phone screen, which means it's kind of like it's falling apart. There's not really much in it, really. So I'm going to get the phone screen fixed. You don't really need to know that. But it's kind of a big thing for me because I record on my phone. So I'm just constantly staring at this massive cracked abyss of my phone screen. So, anyway. And then the second important thing is this is going to be the beginning of a little mini-series on the podcast. A tiny little bab series. So the episodes in this series will probably not be as long, and I'm probably going to be doing them a lot more frequently because I still have to do the little updates on the news. So I'm going to do like a little look at the series, but every so often when I feel like it, like probably every other week, I'm going to release a new episode in this series. And this series is going to be called Big Problems for Little People. Big Problems for Little People is a comprehensive think tank made up of billionaires trying to solve the world's problems. It's not. It's actually just me in my bedroom lamenting at how we've completely ruined the world. Anyway. So yeah, this is going to be the first episode. We're going to be... I went on the internet and I searched up what are the world's biggest problems and looked at the first one that came up, and it was like a survey and like what people think are the world's biggest problems. And there's 6 on the list. We're going to be going through the top 6 and discussing them. You know, just having a conversation about problems, which makes me sound like a therapist, which is something that I frankly need. So yeah, we're going to do that. This is what this is going to be. I hope you're all excited. You're probably not. But I'm excited. So, without any further ado, let's get into some problems. Some big problems for little people. Okay. Let's do this. This is the bit. This is where we start the discussion. Welcome, everyone. Gather round the campfire as I tell you about problems and big problems that will most likely cause the end of the world. No, probably not, actually. Well, there's a couple on this list. In fact, I think there's... There's probably 3 on this list that will probably end the world. I did forget to mention each item on the list is going to be an episode. So if you're not ready for that kind of commitment, then, you know. I probably shouldn't have said that. Anyway, so we're going to do this. The first problem, and the one that we're going to be covering this episode, is government accountability and transparency / government corruption. It's a tricky subject. and one that we are going to be covering today. 22.7% of millennials said that this was a problem, which puts it at number 6 on the list. I get this information from The Ink, I think it's called Ink. This like political journal, and they did this survey, so that's where I'm getting my information from. Now, government transparency / corruption /, you know, accountability. Let's have a little think about whether we think that the government are very accountable. I mean, not accountable. Have like accountability. Like whether we can hold the government to account. Do you think we can do that? Let's have a think. And I don't want to be like biased in any way, because everybody has their own different opinions. So I'm gonna give you guys 10 seconds to have a little think about whether you think this is a thing. Okay, so now you've all had your little think, you've had your little, you know, you've had your little meditation time, you're going to get some cheese and crackers. I personally, in my opinion, I think that the government has, we can hold them to account, but at the same time we can't hold them to account, because obviously we're in a democracy, which means that there is always an element of accountability, because, you know, we can just go to the streets and hold up some signs and go, you did this wrong, and then there's always that amount of accountability. But do the government really listen? Do they take on board the fact that we weren't happy with that decision? Do they hold their hands up and go, that was not a good idea, I did not like that, that was not fun, I did not enjoy that situation, I hold my hands up, that was my fault? And then, yeah, and but I don't think that's what goes on. I think we're in some sort of a dictatorial democracy, which is essentially is a phrase coined by a random guy in a gas mask at an anti-establishment rally in Washington. I don't even know who said it, but it was on a sign at an anti-establishment rally in Washington. And it said, dictatorial democracy is where you have freedom of speech, which is, you know, that's always a good thing. It's where you have freedom of speech, but the government don't listen. And I think that that is quite accurate. Especially in America, that's quite accurate. And it's also accurate in some ways in Britain as well. So, I think that quite accurately describes it. Because you've got all these protests about climate change and blah, 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 blah. Lots of stuff, lots of people protesting, lots of people very angry, lots of people wanting to throw punches at the government. Lots of people not happy. So, but the government don't seem to be really doing anything. Which is why I really love the phrase dictatorial democracy, because it's like, you have free speech, you can say anything you want, but the government aren't going to listen to you. They're just going to do whatever they want, within reason, as long as they have enough people voting for them. You know. I mean, all of those issues that are voted on by Parliament, that are fairly important issues. You know, there are some issues where it's like, should we introduce more traffic cones or something? Something kind of menial. I don't think the public would miss being able to control that decision. That's not really a big thing. You know, it's not like we don't want absolute democracy. Like, some of the menial things, the government can, you know, control that. I'm not going to try and take away their power to put another traffic cone up. So, you know, that's their right. That's their right to do, okay? And I But I think some of the stuff, like the more important stuff, like for instance Brexit, or whether we leave the European Union, or whether we change the way the economy is born, I think they should always be voted on by the people. Because as long as they can trick people, or not trick people, that sounds like malicious, but as long as they can sell a story for long enough to get the act passed, then they don't really need to, you guys know what I mean. As I say, this episode is going to be a little bit less structured. It's really just going to be me kind of talking and sending some thoughts into the world. So it's not going to be as structured as the other ones. So who knows, you know. Anyway, so we basically have a dictatorial democracy where you have free speech, say whatever you want, criticise the way they put their traffic cones, but they're not going to change their traffic cones, you know? And it's kind of sad, you know? So that's kind of government accountability. I don't think we do have much accountability for the government because they're not really listening to the protests, are they? I mean, I know there are certain aspects in which they are listening, but then in the large scheme of things, they're not really listening to the protests. So that's government accountability, but what about government transparency? Do we know what goes on behind the closed doors? And this is probably one of the biggest problems. No. The short answer is no, I don't think we do know what goes on behind the closed doors of the fortress of Westminster. I don't think that we know everything that the government does. And I think it's one of the ways that they keep the population kind of in check, because if we knew everything about their processes and knew everything about every single bill or every single law that they pass, we will more accurately be able to kind of question it. When we question laws and are angry that laws have been passed now, it's more on a surface level of like, oh, it's going to affect me negatively, but we don't really know exactly everything that the law entails. So I think that the government transparency, I don't make enough spit sometimes, but I don't have a disease. Please help me. That quote is from a bad lip reading of Stranger Things, by the way. All credit to that. That's a very funny video. Go and watch it. Government transparency, very, very kind of, you know, government transparency is a big problem, I think. Government corruption is not, I don't think that's a very big problem in our country. I think we have a very good government who never take any bribes ever. This is a difficult one because there isn't any evidence to say our government is very corrupt. They don't seem very corrupt. So I don't think that's a problem. But as I say, in politics, it kind of goes hand in hand, corruption, doesn't it? So I reckon there probably is corruption. There's none that I can cite. But I'm talking about in our country, America, government corruption is a big problem, is a big, big problem. All of the problems in Britain are amplified a lot in America in terms of the particular topic that we're discussing, government transparency, government accountability, government corruption, all of the government stuff, I think, is amplified in America. And I don't know why. I don't even know why, because government accountability is not very good, shall we say. It's not the best. Don't tell Donald Trump, okay, but I'm not a fan, okay? It's not the best. Government accountability, government transparency is really bad. And government corruption is also pretty bad. But government corruption in the US and government corruption in Britain pale in comparison to the government corruption in third world countries, okay? Third world countries have added the fact that they're... My politically correctness sensors are not working today. Not third world countries. I am so sorry. Less developed countries. Less developed countries have it so rough, obviously, because they, one, have the problem that they're less developed, but they also have quite a lot of problems in order to develop the country. Governments are often quite corrupt. There's a lot of stories in countries like Malawi, in sub-Saharan Africa. The townspeople are forced to sell their land. They're not forced, but the company is often, excuse me, the companies often kind of say, oh, you know, they prey on villages and communities in bad situations, so they have to sell off their land, and then the companies get more land and they make more profit, and the villagers profit in the short. The townspeople and the villagers, the people who originally lived there, they profit in the short term because obviously they get some money, they can buy more food. But in the long term, it's not good because either they're completely displaced or they get to keep a smaller percentage of the land that was already theirs. And, they get to keep a smaller percentage. And then it eventually, because, like, you know, if you uproot trees and then it rains and then it floods easier because the roots aren't soaking up the water. So they have all sorts of problems like that. So the villagers profit in the short term from selling off their land, but in the long term it's really not good. And the problem is it's very hard for these villagers to say no to the companies because the companies, as I say, often prey on villages that are in bad situations. So they're like, oh, you know, we didn't get much harvest this year. We need that money from the companies. So, yeah, they're not forcing them, but at the same time, they don't really have a choice either. So government, and in countries like Brazil, governments taking bribes to give certain jobs and certain commissions, like building new factories or clearing new logging places, often take bribes from certain companies in like Central America. They take bribes from logging companies to let them log illegal land, and they'll just kind of turn a blind eye. We never noticed, you know. So I think government corruption is a lot bigger problem in less developed countries. And China also has a big problem with government corruption. So, lots of stuff that really just, you know, it's not good. It is a problem. It is a problem. And, you know, problems exist in the world. And the point of this series is for me to explain the point of this series in the end, before I get carried away. Okay, so that was the end of that rant. I hope you all enjoyed, and I hope you didn't burn your toes in the campfire, because I did say to you at the beginning to huddle round. But when I said huddle round, I didn't mean sit in the flames, Joseph. I hope you did enjoy this. The point of this little mini-series, Big Problems for Little People, is essentially to highlight that there are problems in the world, and that they need to be highlighted. And I'm just hoping that whoever listens to this podcast, however few they might be. However, whether there are 800 or 8, it's more like 8. But however few people listen to this podcast, if there are people listening to this podcast and they hear about a problem that they think they can do something about, I guess I just want problems to be solved. You know, and I'm trying to do all I can by sitting in my bedroom and doing absolutely nothing other than rant into a phone. But I just really want problems to be solved, because I don't want to die, really. That's not something that I'm really interested in. You know? I'm not a fan. And this one isn't really life-threatening, but as I said, there are 3 things on this list of 6 that could possibly cause the end of the world. One of them probably wouldn't cause the end of the world, but it's certainly going to cause a lot of death and horribleness. So, and there's one thing on this list that you all know I was going to talk about when I said big problems. If you know me personally in real life, then if you know me personally in real life, then you will know exactly what the final episode is going to be about. Number 1 on the list, okay? You know exactly what it is, so stay tuned. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Let's Talk Politics. And the first episode of, you know, Big Problems, Little People. I hope you have enjoyed. And the next week we'll probably be back to normal existence, looking at the news and stuff. And maybe Alex might even be back. You never know. You never know. I'm still living in hope. But yeah, and then I'll do like every other week. I might do a little, one of these Big Problems for Little People. So, yeah. The little people is not any reference to anybody's size or anything. It's just the fact that we're all little. We're all tiny in the grand scheme of things. And, you know, so I just wanted to highlight that fact. So, thank you very, very much for listening to this episode of Let's Talk Politics. And hopefully I will name it correctly this time. Thank you for listening, and I will see you in the next episode. Goodbye, humans. Goodbye. 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 Joseph, get out of the campfire!